So I have a real love affair with the book Think and Grow Rich. I've read it over 60 times. And what happened for me is I got lucky. I'm going to admit it was luck that I discovered the book when I was in college. So in the early 80s, I was at Purdue University, and I discovered this book, Think and Grow Rich. I still have it right here. It was a paperback edition. And I read that book, and I had one of these clarifying decisions in college. I read the book, and I'm like, I thought, oh, maybe this book's a little corny. But it really resonated with me, because these stories were actual history. And here Napoleon Hill went and took all these people that were very successful and distilled down the knowledge that you could think and grow rich. I like to say white table, what you think about, you bring about. But the clarifying decision for me in college was I realized that I could take a thought and turn it into physical reality. And so I like if you're thirsty, you have that thought, I'm thirsty, you can turn that into reality and go have a drink of water like you just did. So you can take your thoughts and turn them into reality, and I could do it in bigger and bigger things. And when I realized that, I controlled it. Like it was in college that I got this personal responsibility. Now, I will say you cannot always control your circumstances. Life can throw hard balls at you, but what I realized in that moment of reading the book was that I couldn't control circumstance, but I could control my response to that circumstance, and that really changed the course of my life. And I had a lot of success coming out of college. I was very disciplined, kind of like you are with the Ironman. I was disciplined in the disciplines of success that are talked about in Think and Grow Rich, and he shows you how to build your faith and your self-confidence, and I did all that, and I got pretty successful. And I thought, boy, I really love this book. So
you're listening to the Appraiser Secrets Podcast with your host, Mark Jackson. You will get straightforward advice for how to make a profit on every new transaction that you do, compounding your net worth and growing your wealth substantially all through real estate. Get more information at appraisersecrets.com.
Welcome, everybody, to the Appraiser Secrets Podcast, powered by InvestorConf. My name is Mark Jackson. You can call me MJ. It's a joy to have our guest today, Blaine Okers. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
All right. Thank you, MJ. Happy to be here and to share with your listeners. You and I met in a mastermind group, which we might talk about today, but I knew right from the start that you had a caring heart. You were very disciplined, hence the Iron Man work, and you got things right. So I think it's I've always looked up to you in that arena, and happy to be on the show today.
Well, again, thank you, without a doubt. You got me blushing, man. But listen, it's a joy to have you here. Blaine, your track record, your walk in life is one of constant diligence and making decisions based not just on what your desires are, but those of the family and those around you that you nurture and care. And there's amazing stories you have to share, and I'm sure we'll probably get to that. Allow me just a moment or two. As we were doing our free little warm-up here, I was sharing with you that one day I hope to have a bio like yours. So everybody, I'm going to thoroughly welcome and introduce Blaine here, because the accolades and accomplishments really give credos to why he's such a special guest, and that we desperately wanted to have him on our Praise the Secrets podcast. Blaine is a lifetime entrepreneur, has been running profitable businesses for over 25 years. He's gone over the $100 million in sales, a graduate of Purdue University and Stanford University's entrepreneurship program. Blaine has owned and operated a consulting firm, a pizza franchise, 4 health and wellness businesses, a personal development company, and he started 2 social enterprises to help end malnutrition in a sustainable way by using a business model rather than charity model. And that's quite admirable, Blaine. Your passions are to help people discover their own hidden abilities to live the life they deserve, design, and desire. He's recently released the book Think and Grow Rich, Book Study Edition. He's co-authored a book with Jay Conrad Levison on guerrilla marketing and one with Dan Kennedy on success. He's certified in guerrilla marketing and Dr. Robert Cialdini's principles of passion. Blaine has coached 1,000 or more business owners. He specializes in results and is currently America's chief results officer. He's an action speaks louder than words kind of guy. Boy, that is a mouthful, but so very, very true when it comes to communicating and sharing your message, Blaine. And it runs many accountability programs and masterminds. He's completed two social entrepreneurship programs, one through the Wharton School of Business and one at Stanford University. He's also realized a big goal to be a TEDx speaker and was featured as a TEDx speaker at a TEDx event. Blaine, welcome, welcome, welcome to the Appraiser Secrets Podcast. Again, thank you for being here, without a doubt.
I guess I've been busy. It seems like I've been a busy boy. But no, it's been a blessed path, and I was I have worked from home for 25 years, so that really helped me to, once I got the ground rules with my wife Beth down, these last 25 years working from home gave me a lot of flexibility and freedom to really dig into, you know, helping people get results, and that's really, I think when I lined up with that, I think that's why God put me on the planet, is to help people take control of their lives by taking control of themselves. And so when I started to align with maybe my divine purpose, things really started to work out a lot better. So it's been really good.
There's a unique story that you share, and I think it'd be pivotal for everybody that's in the Appraiser Seeks community that's seeking to have freedom and lifestyle and make decisions for themselves, as compared to maybe those that are led or guided, or they don't have any choice in it. But just a little snippet of that little baby boy of yours that led you to make a significant change in life. Share a little bit about that in your story with family, if you don't mind.
I think, MJ, if you take nothing else away from this podcast today, this show, is that if you will take the time to make a clarifying decision, I would say that was the number one action step, is for you to make a clarifying decision. And let me tell you what that is. A clarifying decision is kind of this bigger decision that makes for you, eliminates for you hundreds of other decisions, right? So an example in my case was I came home from a business trip, and my son was about 1 year old at the time, and I was gone for like 3 days, and I came home, and he acted like he didn't know me. And I said, Beth, what's going on with Bo? Why is he giving me the cold shoulder? And she said, well, you were gone for a while. He forgot who you were. You know, he'll warm up in a few days. And that night, that really kind of hit me emotionally. And I also realized that when I came home from school, both my parents worked. So I came home to an empty house. And so I had all this emotion. And that night I made this decision that I was going to do whatever it took. I made this clarifying decision that I was going to work from home. And so starting that next day, you know, I had a regular kind of a corporate job at the time. I started working on that. Now, it took me a year, but a year later, and so I was only looking at things that I could do from home, and I also started looking at things that had no daily operations. So I was looking at businesses and things I could do that had no daily operations that I could work from home, and it took me a year. But a year later, I broke free, and that was about 25 years ago. And so for 25 years, you know, I've been that stay-at-home dad, and I was able to coach all the teams and be there, you know, when they came home, and really didn't travel that much. Now, I travel a little bit more. I have got the empty nest now. Both of our kids are out of the nest. And so I do travel a little bit more for mastermind meetings, but I'm not really a big traveler. But anyway, making that clarifying decision really set up so much in my life and eliminated all the noise of those other decisions, right? So I think that's really key. If people could take that away, how powerful it is to make that clarifying decision.
That is so unique. And everybody, when you think about it, whether you've made a clarifying decision in your life, in some cases you may even identify where someone's made a clarifying decision for you, but there are certain goals and aspirations that we can live into. The difference is we want them to be ours, the ones that we make. And that's what is so unique about what Blaine brings to our conversation today. Let's peel back the onion a little bit, because I read Think and Grow Rich as a 30-something for the very, very first time. And that book really, it changed the way that I thought, period, point blank, the end. You know, it got me beyond just going to work and, you know, and being a good employee. Not that those aren't significant things. I mean, you got great CEOs that they've accomplished as a result of reading Think and Grow Rich. But it's where we are in our own space at the time when we get our hands on the book. And you've taken it another level. I mean, there's a rich history of going back now having gotten a public domain access and in going in and doing your book, Think and Grow Rich, a study edition. Let's peel back the onion a little bit. What was the impetus, desire? Just kind of let us delve into your world and share with everyone the significance of your work on this book study edition.
So I have a real love affair with the book Think and Grow Rich. I've read it over 60 times. And what happened for me is I got lucky. I'm going to admit it was luck that I discovered the book when I was in college. So in the early 80s, I was at Purdue University, and I discovered this book, Think and Grow Rich. I still have it right here. It was a paperback edition. And I read that book, and I had one of these clarifying decisions in college. I read the book, and I'm like, I thought, oh, maybe this book's a little corny, but it really resonated with me because these stories were actual history. And here Napoleon Hill went and took all these people that were very successful and distilled down the knowledge that you could think and grow rich. I like to say white table, what you think about, you bring about. But the clarifying decision for me in college was I realized that I could take a thought and turn it into physical reality. And so if you're thirsty, you have that thought, I'm thirsty, you can turn that into reality and go have a drink of water like you just did. So you can take your thoughts and turn them into reality, and I could do it in bigger and bigger things. And when I realized that, I controlled it. Like, it was in college that I got this personal responsibility. Now, I will say, you cannot always control your circumstances. Life can throw hard balls at you, but what I realized in that moment of reading the book was that I couldn't control circumstance, but I could control my response to that circumstance, and that really changed the course of my life. And I had a lot of success coming out of college. I was very disciplined, kind of like you are with the Iron Man. I was disciplined in the disciplines of success that are talked about in Think and Grow Rich, and he shows you how to build your faith and your self-confidence, and I did all that, and I got pretty successful. And I thought, boy, I really love this book. So a couple years later, I went and I bought one of the original 5,000 copies. And so they say there's 100 million copies in print, but there's definitely tens of millions of copies out there. So I bought one of the first 5,000, and it's a hardback cover, and I was so excited about it. I got it in the mail. Cost me $1,000. And I opened the book, and the first page was different. And I said, whoa. I went, I got my paperback, and I said, wait a second, I never read that. And it turned out that there are these lost pages, and that's why, 98% of the people have read the wrong version of the book, which is kind of weird. But anyway, the first page was different, the second page was different, and then the book had been updated in 1960, and so there were some other changes. But the core differences was that Napoleon Hill gave the personal instructions about how to read the book. And so for the listeners, let me say there's two key instructions. The first one, so if you open your book and the very first page should say, what do you want most? It's big and bold at the top. It's a big question. What do you want most? Is it money, fame, power, contentment, personality, peace of mind, happiness? Basically what he's saying there is that before you read this book, you want to get really clear on what it is you want most, because the book is going to show you how to take that desire, if it's a burning desire, and turn it into a physical reality. So you got to get laser focused. What is it that you want? Then the second page basically says, here's how you have to read the book. You can't read it alone. You have to use a mastermind group. And so there's a whole chapter in there about mastermind groups. If you're not familiar with them, it's a collection of people that come together kind of for a common good, a common cause. And typically it's a peer group of people helping each other out. And so you had to do that. And at the time I bought that, the original book, my business I was running at the time was worth about $300,000, but I really wanted it to be $1 million business. And I had a plan, 5-6 year plan to make that happen. But when I did those two things, I got laser focused on the $1 million business. And then 5 months in a row, I did a book study and I read it the exact way he said, and I shared it with people. And within 5 months, that business went from 300,000 to $1 million. And I got into this thing called the $1 million club, and it was really cool. But what happened was, during that time, when the opportunity for me to jump that business came about, I knew immediately, yes, that's the thing, right? Because I had been following all those instructions and doing all those things in there. So anyway, from those book studies, I've probably done 100 book studies now, with different groups and with different people and things like that. And so I ended up taking the Think and Grow Rich, the original text with the you know, special instructions. And I created a guidebook for the book, and then I did a book study, which has some stuff at the beginning and end of each chapter. And I put all that together, as kind of my gift back to society to make sure that you understand the book, but then also to make sure that you read the right version, because most people didn't.
There you go. That is dynamic, and I want to peel back the onion and share time before we wrap up to actually where we can get a copy. But here's something that I've heard you talk about, and even I don't have all the nuts and bolts on this. So there's just something that you call a results machine. What is that?
Sure, sure. So, you know, there's this concept of it's very important for you to know where you want to go. I call that kind of your point B. You're moving from point A to point B, right? And it's most important to know where you're going, and you have to know where you are. But nothing happens if you're not moving across the line. And there's this concept of the results machines are these things that make your results automatic. It's the things that you do on a daily and weekly basis that move you across the line. Right. So, you know, you're kind of you seem like a pretty disciplined guy like myself. So that the odds are high that you have a morning routine. So people that have a morning routine, that's one of their results machines. And sometimes you have an idea of something that's going to make you results, and you might turn it into a routine. But then if you can take that routine and make it automatic, that's what I kind of call a results machine. And it's important to acknowledge what are these things that are moving the needle, to write them down or capture them somehow, and then to systematize them and make them machines, make them happen every week. Another results machine is time blocking. So if I can time block time, in my case, it's just to think. I need thinking time every week. But turning that into a results machine is when I say, okay, my thinking time is Friday from 2 to 4 every week. It goes in my schedule, and it never changes. Now, if I'm going to be traveling or something like that, then maybe I have to move it around. But 9 out of 10 times, that's time blocked, right? So now I've turned that into a machine. A lot of things that people do on a weekly basis, like having a staff meeting or meeting with vendors, or if you're in a mastermind group, maybe meeting weekly, right? So MJ, you and I meet on Tuesdays, for accountability. And that is that meeting, that 1 hour a week, really does drive the needle, because it's at that meeting that I'm thinking about my wins, but I'm also thinking about what's that top item I'm going to focus on next week. I've got to tell the group, so I better be ready. So these things that that are moving the needle that you can set up on automatic pilot, those are what I call results machines.
There you go. So you've delved into it a little bit, because I want to keep going into this results machines concept, because there's different things that the Appraisal Secrets community, that they're doing to establish and identify leads in their business so they can actually be working on not just the project they have on the desk, but the next one that's going to be coming down the pipeline. There's other little systems, things that really would make their businesses go well. And so when we're talking about these results machines, you talked about a morning routine, time blocking. If you could give just a snippet of how the community here at Appraisal Secrets might set up their own results machines, how would you break that down? Just kind of giving maybe an ABC or maybe a 1, 2, 3, 4, something like that, that would guide them along the way.
Yeah, good point. So the results machines come into probably two categories and then two types. And so one category is personal, like the morning routine, right? And then the other category is work, right? And sometimes people have one for their family, but some types of organizations or collections of people. So those are the two. And then the types are daily. These are machines that you're going to be running daily. And then there's weekly. There's these machines that run weekly. So, you know, we gave some examples on the personal side, but looking at the group side or the work side, if they've got a business with any kind of staff or employees, whether they're virtual or not, having a daily huddle. So a daily huddle, maybe it's 5 minutes, maybe it's 15 minutes, that's a results machine. You get that thing set up, it's a daily huddle, happens here, whether you Zoom, whether it's in person, whatever it is, you know, that's a results machine. Somebody that's working for you, if they have a daily number, might be production of some sort, it could be a weekly number as well, but they have some type of number that they have ownership of, that's a results machine. Having some type of starting and ending routine. So you start your business day with these things. You end your business day with these things. Again, that could be personal or business. Also in the weekly area, in regards to the business, a lot of businesses have scorecards. And those weekly scorecards, those are huge results machines where you're looking on a weekly basis at the leading indicators of the business, right? So it could be number of leads, could be number of properties they've looked at, you know, whatever they're measuring, but having that weekly scorecard and then having a weekly meeting, right? A lot of you know, a lot of people use things like Traction, which is a methodology that has the weekly L10 meetings. But having weekly meetings, especially with vendors, you know, if you've got somebody that's running your pay-per-click campaign or something like that, meeting, even if it's with a lower-level person in that company on a weekly basis for 15 minutes, that keeps you top of mind. That keeps the needle moving. Hey, what are my page views? Hey, what, you know, how is this pay-per-click doing? So having these weekly meetings is a huge one. And then it could be talking to clients, talking to prospects, maybe evaluating a property. So every week you say, look, I'm going to evaluate at least one, two, three properties, whatever it is. And you put that time, you set aside the time to do that in the weekly schedule. So you set it up so that it's a machine more than just a routine or an idea in your head.
That is awesome. I mean, just awesome. I mean, the fact that you're able to break that down into the personal work as categories and then the daily and weekly, it creates a really nice grid for everybody to actually look into. I mean, even as I was making notes, that daily huddle, I even see that, and Glenn, you probably already taught this. It's a daily huddle with the family, a daily huddle with your spouse or significant other. Just that time right there can make a very significant difference in terms of the longevity, the fruitfulness of those personal relationships. I love this. Having a number on a daily basis and on a weekly basis is another excellent way to implement the results machines on both the personal and the work side. This is phenomenal. I've got my own little grid I started making as you're sharing notes, because there's just so much good content here. Let me kind of go in a little bit different direction as we continue to chat. But when you think about just your walk, this social entrepreneurship programs you've done, the coaching that you do, share with everybody, what's the most important part of your day and how do you make the most of it?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, the most important part of my day, there's really two parts that I enjoy. One is at the end of the day. I really feel like I don't like to end a day without having the next day planned out. So at the end of the day, sometimes that could be at night, but typically I like to do it in the afternoon. I like to plan out my next day. And so I call it NDP, next day planning. And I really like to, maybe I'm a little old-fashioned. I mean, I have a digital calendar in my iPhone, right? But I like paper, right? So I make a paper list. I like to check it off, get my hit of dopamine. But for me, it's planning out the next day. And I have this thing called 3x3. So when I plan out my next day, I put in my appointments that I have. But then I really schedule in. I look at what are the top three things that I want to get done. Now, it could just be one. Some people do a top one. But it would be like, this day is going to be successful tomorrow if I could get what three things done. I use three. And I call it 3x3 because my goal is to finish those things by 3 o'clock. And so one of the things that people could do, if you could get to know yourself, you know, that's one of the key skills that sometimes people often don't spend enough time on. But if you get to know yourself, like I can work under a deadline, but I prefer I'm energized by being ahead of the game. So what I do is I get my 3x3 done. So at 3 o'clock, I'm like done with the stuff that I was supposed to get done for the day. And so I make my list for the next day. But then for a couple of hours, I'm working on tomorrow's list. And so like a lot of times I go to bed with number one for the next day already done. And so then I'm like so jazzed. But it was just a mind game, right? Because I could have started the day and I could have put 10 things on the list, gotten three done, and beat myself up for the seven that didn't get done, right? So I am getting to know myself and finding out how can I keep myself energized. So one of the favorite parts of the day is planning the next day. And then I would say waking up in the morning before the world attacks our day. I do enjoy the morning routine, which has some, some religious items that I do, some meditation, some exercise, and really kind of reconnecting with myself and thinking and taking care of my body, and I really enjoy that.
That's good. I love the way that this is very individual. For most persons, when you ask that question, what's the most important in your day, immediately goes right to the morning. But this dynamic, you broke it down into two components, the fact that it is the end of the day, but it actually has a specific time. It's not 5, 6, 7 o'clock. It's actually early afternoon, which gives you breath and depth to have life after the work that you're actually completed for that day. 3 by 3, that's really pretty cool. I hope everybody was listening to the breakdown of what Blaine shared, because this is, now again, I imagine you could do this just as well first thing in the morning, but that idea of know thyself, if you're an early riser, be an early riser. If you're a night owl, be a night owl, but know thyself as you strive to think and grow rich and utilize your results machines and bringing them forward for what gives you the best results individually for yourself. Blaine, you've done a number of different dynamics, but like a great planner, great individual that wants to do more in life, you had a bucket list item that was very, very important to you. Please share the dynamic of your bucket list item.
For a number of years, I've always liked, there's this organization called TED, and they have a couple events a year, and they have a very defined talk. Now, it has to be, these talks share just one big idea worth sharing, and this one big idea worth sharing has to be communicated in under 18 minutes. Different. Sometimes they have a little different format. It could be a little shorter sometimes, but the most you can talk is 18 minutes, and it's a very structured talk, and it's a very high-value talk. And I was always interested in, and after seeing some of the famous people do these talks, I wanted to do that talk. And so, like a Think and Grow Rich thing, it made its way onto a list, and I would think about it, I would really kind of look for an opportunity if I heard about things or share it with people. And I was presenting at Arizona Marketing Association, so I help run that association, and I was talking with people about that, and then somebody there, a friend of a friend, said, look, I know somebody, they're having one of these TEDx events, in Fountain Hills, which is right next to Scottsdale where I live. Mm-hmm. And they said, look, I'm going to submit you for that. So you have to kind of be submitted. So I got submitted for that, and they did an interview, and I had to submit some videos, and they said, yes, we will have you speak. And then the TEDx organization puts you through like 6 coaching sessions. And then lo and behold, I took that stage and kind of got, it was kind of nerve wracking, but I did get my bucket list item done, and it was a great experience. And the other nice thing is that they curate that knowledge. So they have a big website, they put you up on the website, and you can kind of, it's a message that lives on forever. And I think that's great. Even like the cool thing is that even this podcast, because you're putting it up online, there's somebody not yet born that's going to listen to this podcast and extract some value from it, right? So when you write a book, when you do a TED talk or a TEDx talk, or you do a podcast, or you put some value out in the world, just realize that, you have the possibility to touch even those lives not yet born. Somebody could be on Mars, living on Mars, listening to this, in 200 years, 300 years from now. It was a great talk, and it was a little bit out of my comfort zone. Like, I'm a trainer person. I don't like to talk about myself much. I'd rather talk about the training and help you. And they said, no, you got to get emotional. You got to give us your heart. And so that was a little different for me. So I ended up talking about my dad, who passed away on the same day that my son was born. But I turned that story into a teaching about YTABA. So it's this acronym, what you think about, you bring about. So I did a teaching about that. And I taught people something that you've probably seen me teach, MJ, at Freedom Founders Mastermind Groups, is that you take this, whatever you're trying to bring about in your life, and you take a picture, a representation of that, and you make that the unlock screen on your phone. And then most people see that 70 to 100 times a day, and so that's been working well for people.
Great. There you go. Good stuff. Blaine, you've been a blessing for us today without end. I hope you'll accept my invitation to come back, because there's more that we can delve into without a doubt. But if you would, share just best way to reach out, communicate with you. I have no doubt that there's going to be a number of folks here that are going to want to engage with you in the Appraiser Secrets community to get more information about developing their own results machine, maybe getting a copy of your version of Think and Grow Rich, a book study edition. Kind of share the dynamics of what's the best way to reach out, such as we can get a copy of the book.
So to get the copy of the book, right now I did self-publish the book, and you can get it at MasteringTGR.com. And if you, there's a promo code free ship, all one word, free ship, and that will give you free shipping on the book. So that's if you want to get the book. If you want to connect with me, I've got two different things. One is if you want to see that TED Talk, I've got a very easy website for that. It's just BlaineTEDx.com. So BlaineTEDx.com. So BlaineTEDx.com. And then you can see that TED Talk. You can also get a transcript of it. The other thing is talking about, you know, making this clarifying decision. It's a concept I call forced clarity. And so I do have a free report on that at forcedclarity.com. So just the word forced and then clarity.com. And it talks about the four steps to gaining clarity and then how to find the time to do it. But it talks about mind dumping and making clarifying decisions. And so I think that might serve you well as well.
Outstanding. So the book can be captured at MasteringTGR.com, and then there's a promo code. So thank you for that. Free ship. Is that all caps, or can you just put in lowercase letters? Anything?
Yeah, all lowercase. It might work if you put a capital F, but all lowercase. Yeah.
Or lowercase is great. And of course, we'll add the links in our description down here so folks can get to it for BlaineTEDx.com to see what certainly was a moving TEDx talk. To fill that bucket list, the structure you put to make sure that you got it done. And thank you very much for the forced clarity as well. Great way for folks to kind of get in, get four different measures of or steps to begin that process so they can actually, so all of us for that matter, can move forward. I love, again, that idea of putting the dynamic of what is that thing you're shooting towards on that home screen when you're opening your phone. Because it's going to embed it right there in your eyes. Man, it's a shame that we probably open that sucker 40 or 50 times a day, but it's a great way to do so. So without a doubt, Blaine, thank you so very much for being here. I know, that, again, that you'll accept our invitation to come back. We've got so much more that we can, that I know that you'd be willing to share within the Appraiser Secrets community, because this is where we take a valuation-first approach to real estate, but we do so knowing that we have to have the right mindset. We're only good as the next deal that we're doing. And Blaine has been great to share different concept methodologies that we can get clear on what it is we want to accomplish and go after it by having specific plans, knowing what's the best part of our day and making the most of it. So again, Blaine, thank you so very much for being here. I really, really, really appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much, MJ. And you are easy to talk to. You've got a caring heart, like I said at the top of the show. And you're helping people, and you're coming from the right space, and you've got their interest in mind. So a pleasure to be on here. And I would say the bad news is time flies. The good news is you're the pilot. So pilot another good week, and tune back in next week.
There you go. Everybody, take good care. God bless. Thank you again, Blaine. We'll see you soon.
You've been listening to another episode of the Appraiser Secrets Podcast with Mark Jackson. The place to be to create your freedom lifestyle with more time off, security, and peace of mind. Find out more at appraisersecrets.com.